have you here today, and it is a holy day. It is the day of Pentecost, the celebration of the beginning of the Christian church when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And I see several of you did remember to wear red today. It is the color of the day in the liturgical calendar, so our pulpit hangings are red. And so it's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this very special holy day. If you're visiting here today, we extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin today the calendar for this week. And not a lot of meetings going on, but there are a couple things. And next Sunday, we will be having our worship service at 11, and it will include the service of believers' baptism, a very special time. And so encourage you to attend next week as we witness new believers committing their lives to Jesus Christ through baptism. Also wanting to let you know that our One Great Hour sharing offering, we have received $567 towards our goal of $800. That's about 71% towards the goal. And the envelopes are still in the pews. If you'd like to give a gift, I'm going to sort of make my mission moment now, Marilyn, instead of later. So it is often thought to be the disaster offering when there is a hurricane or a flood or a fire someplace. Often One Great Hour sharing money is going there to help the survivors pick up the pieces. But it's also part of resettlement as well, and it helps people to learn learn a new way of living when they've moved to a new place. Having said that, we are continuing and concluding the receipt of gifts. As far as promoting gifts, we'll always take gifts to the offering, but we will no longer promote it after today. But we do segue then into our Tools of Hope for Father's Day. And there is an order form on the back page of the bulletin. If you would like to order or give a $5 gift in honor or in memory of a loved one for Father's Day, please do so. It's similar to what we did with the blankets a few weeks ago. And the tools, we often think of hammers and saws and drills as tools, but other types of tools might be seeds and pencils and rulers and irrigation systems and all kinds of different things that are used to help people. And again, it might be during a disaster, but it's also a time of teaching people how to grow things for themselves so they'll have food to eat, so they don't have to rely on donations of food, but they can grow their own. That's a tool, that type of, and so those are tools sort of tied in. It's similar to the One Great Hour sharing offering, but we do it separately. We receive gifts separately, specifically for tools, and do invite your orders and donations for that as well today. To also let you know, the American Baptist Women's Ministries of our church has received a certificate of recognition for the for outstanding generosity and dedication the American Baptist Women's Ministries of Massachusetts by completing the 8 steps of giving. This is an annual offering. It's not offering. It's several different levels of mission giving through our American Baptist Women's Ministries, which is all the women of our church have contributed towards this, and this comes from the region. And this is a certificate that Marilyn Glover will probably be posting someplace for us. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsively as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. There are different gifts, but it's the same Spirit who gives them. God works through different people in different ways, but it's the same God who achieves his purpose through them all. Together we are the body of Christ, and individually members of him. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life to set others free. Our opening hymn this morning is The Church's One Foundation, number 68 in the Blue Hymnal. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray. Oh God, help us to direct our thoughts to you, that your power may fill this church and our lives fully, just as it has filled churches and people throughout the ages. Teach us to be your church and your people. This we ask in the name of Jesus, the head of the church. And we pray now as he first taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Took the moments for mission and made it as part of my announcements this morning, so we go and have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with the church family as we go to prayer. And we want to continue to remember Paul Patrie and May Upperman as they are at home. We also want to remember the citizens of London today as there's been more terrorism attacks there. We had the news on this morning, we saw pictures and reports. And just we want to pray for those folks in Britain today, especially where it's been a spate of like 3 attacks in recent weeks. We want to keep them in our prayers today. If you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or a concern you'd like to share with the church family. Peggy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Peggy's sister-in-law, Claire, who's in a nursing home and not doing real well, and your niece has been diagnosed with cancer of the stomach. So we want to keep her in prayer, to keep both of those folks in prayer. Yes? Okay. So we want to keep your sister, Beth, in prayer today as she continues under treatment. Yes? Lisa? Okay. A co-worker named Martha, who's been diagnosed with breast cancer, who's undergoing surgery this week for a double mastectomy. So I want to keep her in prayer as well. Khalid. Okay, the father of a friend of yours underwent surgery this week, but he's in a coma. Okay, so we want to keep him in prayer and the family in prayer as well as he tries to recover from the surgery. Any other one? Anybody else have a prayer request? Amelia had a birthday on Friday. And now she feels embarrassed because she was filling it out. Well, happy belated birthday, Amelia. That's right, there's two Amelia. That's right, I'm trying to think. No, it wasn't the baby. No, not the right season yet for the baby. So great-grandma Amelia had a birthday on Friday. So congratulations and belated happy birthday. Anyone else have a prayer request? Dorothy. You're giving me too much information, Dorothy. Go ahead. You may have to repeat it, some of it. Wonderful. Okay, your granddaughter, Michelle, graduated from Washington University in Missouri and drove back home after graduation, has a job here in Boston, and now has her doctorate. So that is a wonderful celebration. And other folks I know are graduating, are completing their studies, and we just do celebrate that. In fact, I think Malden High School's graduation is taking place, I think, this morning. I think I saw something because it was moved up because of potential rain. So we want to remember those who are graduating today or have recently or will be soon, and those that, the next step of life, it's like a time of transition. Graduation's not, it's a culmination, but it's also an opening of the door for another thing. So we want to remember those. Irene. Okay, Irene's friends, Eleanor and Mario, whom many of us have met over the years, have moved and transitioned into an assisted living facility. And it is an adjustment and a transition, so we want to keep them in prayer and keep others that are during this time of transition. Hold on just a minute. Debbie? Okay. Mary from Zonta, who's undergoing chemo this week. Okay, Barbara. So one friend that you have is in hospice right now, and the other friend has entered a nursing home and looks like that's probably will be a permanent placement. So it's difficult when we get older that we realize that our friends are, being places, and eventually we might end up there too. Unfortunately, we realize that. Anyone else have a Richard?
Just a celebration.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's okay. So Emily Blatchford graduated from high school on Friday, so it's a newly minted graduate of high school, so that's a wonderful celebration. Any other requests? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you are all merciful, all powerful, all loving. Attributes, Lord, that we may try to achieve, but know that we are not perfect. And Lord, we come to you in our humbleness, in our sinfulness, acknowledging your perfection and your power, and seeking, Lord, that as we come as your children, knowing that we need to be here, we need to be in your presence, we need to offer our apologies to you for doing things that we know are against your will for us or for others. Lord, as we do that, we come with contrite hearts. We seek your forgiveness in our hearts. And Lord, as we do that, we come recognizing that none of us are better than others, that we are all equal in your eyes, no matter where we live, where we came from, what language we speak, what color skin our skin is, how old we are, how young we are, what gender we are. It doesn't matter, O God, in your eyes, that we are all equal in your sight. And we thank you for that. Lord, as we come as your children this day, we come praying for others in your family, we've mentioned many today, who have health issues. Some are illnesses, others are from surgeries or other treatments. And Lord, we just pray to you as the master physician. And just pray for healing in these people's lives that is according to your will for them. And Lord, we recognize that perfect health, restored health, may not be what is best for them. And Lord, we pray for help in accepting that in our lives, that we don't always have all the right answers. But we pray for your will be done. Oh God, we lift up those who are graduating or have graduated. It's a time of transition for them, a time of completing one part of study and embarking on something new, whether it's work, military, a year off, more education, whatever it is, oh God, we pray for those who are in this time of transition. And while we rejoice with them as they complete part of their studies, we also pray, oh God, for the decisions that are being made for their future. Lord, you are a God of not only our yesterdays and our todays, but you are a God of our tomorrows as well. And we thank you for that. And that gives us the hope to look forward in time, not only to life here on earth, but to our time in heaven. Oh God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again and ascended to heaven, and also sent his Spirit to be with us. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate that Spirit, that coming of the Spirit upon those first disciples. And we pray that your Spirit may be upon us as well, oh God, that you may move among us, move within us, that we may be different people for having been here today and experiencing your Spirit. Lord, we lift all of these things now to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In our call to worship this morning, we spoke about gifts of the Spirit and meaning of having a wide variety of them. And that's part of being a follower of Jesus Christ, is to use the gifts that we have, whatever talents and skills that we have been given by God, that we should be using those to benefit not only ourselves, but to benefit others and to benefit the Christian church. But we think about gifts also in a financial way, a tangible way. And yes, we have been bestowed financial resources as well. And we read throughout Scripture that we are to give an offering to God as a thanksgiving for the way that God has touched our lives. So as we consider the spiritual gifts that we have, let us present our tangible gifts to God at this time as the ushers receive the morning offering. Thank you. send your Spirit upon us and upon these gifts right now. Multiply them and bless us with all the talents and skills that we need, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that more may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen. Don't put your hymnal away, because our scripture this morning is responsive, and I invite you to turn to selection number 292 in the blue hymnal for our responsive scripture. And it selected verses from the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which talk about and tell about the first Christian Pentecost. So I invite you to read responsively now with me God's holy word. Jesus said to his disciples, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. When the day of Pentecost came, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your young men will see visions. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read these words from your holy scriptures, how exciting and frightening and awesome it must have been on that first Christian Pentecost. Bewildering for some. But Lord, we just come today seeking that type of ecstasy that was taking place with those disciples. We pray that your Spirit we'll open our minds, our hearts, to receive a word from you, and we'll then open our hands and our mouths that we may speak and do good deeds according to your will. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times in your life have you said, I do? Probably one that comes most readily to mind for those who are or have been married is standing before a minister, responding to the questions, "Do you take this woman or man to be your wife or husband, to live together in the holy bond of marriage, to love, comfort, honor, and keep her or him, and forsaking all others to be faithful to her or him as long as you both shall live?" But there are other scenarios where some of us may have uttered the same response. In the courtroom, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?" Perhaps when being questioned by a police officer, "You have the right to remain silent. If you give up that right, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to have an attorney present during questioning. Do you understand these rights as I have explained them to you?" Many of us have stood in a church baptistry or an outdoor body of water and responded with these words to the following questions. "Do you publicly proclaim your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And do you promise to follow him every day of your life?" When parents bring their children for dedication, they are asked, "Do you promise that you will teach your children about the Christian faith? And do you seek to lead them into a living relationship with Jesus Christ?" And we as a congregation are asked, "Do you accept the responsibility together with these parents to pray for and teach these children that they may be brought to full maturity in Jesus Christ?" In the coming weeks of June, we will hear baptismal candidates and parents answer those questions. In addition, we will witness two people stand before this congregation and respond to the question, "Having heard the duties and responsibilities of church membership, do you promise to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ and to serve him gladly in this congregation?" And we, who are already members of this church, will be asked, "Do you promise to give them your love and encouragement as they grow in their Christian life and commitment?" I do. Two very small words that contain many expectations and responsibilities. In the instances I just mentioned, whenever we respond, "I do," our future actions and words are measured by the promises we make. Loving someone and forsaking all others, telling the truth, no matter how much it may hurt ourselves or someone else, following Jesus' example and teaching in our lives every day, providing religious training for the youngest in our church family, and contributing our time, talent, and treasure to this congregation for its ministry and mission and the nurture and development of its members. When we say, "I do," great things are expected of us, and our lives may never be the same again. In this morning's scripture, we find the Holy Spirit being given to the believers who were gathered in Jerusalem and waiting for its arrival. Jesus had told them, "The Holy Spirit will come and help you because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place. The Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of what I have said while I was with you. Then you will also tell others about me. Don't leave Jerusalem yet. Wait here for the Father to give you the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and everywhere in all the world." When the Spirit came, the disciples were empowered to speak, baptize, and heal in the name of Jesus. Imagine being a visitor to Jerusalem for a festival and hearing strangers speaking in your own language. A common bond was established. And through Peter's powerful and spirit-filled words, 3,000 people believed the message that Jesus, the Son of God, had come to earth, been killed and resurrected for each of them. And their response to that belief was their willingness to say, "I do," when Peter asked who wanted to be baptized. Just imagine for a moment, every seat in this sanctuary being filled 3 times over. That's how many people said, "I do," on that first Christian Pentecost. Many of us here today have heard this same message and responded with, "I do," and been baptized. But baptism is not an end in itself. It's really a new beginning. After saying, "I do," and being baptized, we now have the responsibilities of obeying Jesus' teachings and following his example. And the good thing is that we don't have to do it alone. The Holy Spirit is available to guide us, and the church was established to support and nurture new believers, as well as continue telling the message about Jesus Christ to those who have already heard it. When we say, "I do," to the invitation to join the church, there are also added expectations. As I mentioned earlier, later this month, we will welcome 2 new people into membership. And as we do this, I will be reminding them and us of the 5 sweet P's of church membership, that members are to be present and participating, praying, peaceful and patient, as well as paying. The book of Acts tells us that members in the early church often met together and they shared everything they had. Day after day they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Each day the Lord added to their group others who were saved. Many of us here today have responded, "I do," to the invitation to join this church. For some, it was several decades ago, while for others, it may have been only a few years. This morning, I challenge you to examine your pattern of membership. How many of those 5 sweet peas can you claim? Some here this morning may not have decided to make a commitment to church membership, and that is perfectly acceptable. Saying, "I do," is a big responsibility with several expectations. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' disciples and the birth of the Christian church. Historically, because Acts chapter 2, verse 41 records 3,000 people being baptized, Pentecost was a time in the Christian church when people were baptized, when candidates who were probably not maybe ready for on Easter Sunday, that they waited until Pentecost and were baptized on that day. By the 8th century, Pentecost often went by the name Whit Sunday. White was the color of the robes worn by those who were baptized that day. And in cold climates with outdoor baptism, not as many were baptized at Easter. Many waited until Pentecost or Whit Sunday. Today is a day of remembrance and a day of recommitment. The Holy Spirit came not only on that first Pentecost, but continues to come in our lives today with power to renew us. And on this Pentecost, my prayer is that the Spirit will guide each of us as we consider the promises that we have made or are considering making and our subsequent actions. God called this local church into being almost 214 years ago. It took determination, courage and perseverance on the part of our church's founders to stand up to the religious persecution of that day. Our ancestors were empowered to do great things for God, to be a spiritual presence in the Malden community. That goal has never changed. The people have, but the task has not. Our ancestors have passed the torch on to us to continue the ministry and the mission of this church. If you have been a part of our past, then I say thank you. And now is the time to turn from reflecting on the past to looking toward the future. God is calling each one of us to become more involved in this congregation. Remembering the weight and importance of those two small words, the question is, do you want to commit or recommit yourself? If you truly want to, the answer is, I do. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Enter our lives. Free us from all fear. Give us strength to carry on. Give us hope and joy sufficient of each day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Give us the power to be the church. Impart your many gifts to our members that we may be the body of Christ's presence in the world. Remove our apathy and renew our life together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Bind us close together. May we rejoice with one another's joys and weep with one another's sorrows. Bind us together not only with the sheep of this fold, but all of Christ's people around this city and throughout the world. Forgive the pride, prejudice, and self-righteousness which separates us from one another. Come, Holy Spirit, come, that all may be one in Christ. Source of all true unity, who is with us today and always, even to the end of time. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is The Bond of Love, number 682. May be seated.
As previously mentioned, our communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observances of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care, for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we will cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host at the table. And as the host, as part of his invitation, he asks us some questions. Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died there, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we're able to say, I do, Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation. You do not have to have already said that, I do. Because Jesus invites all believers, all who have said, I do, to having faith in Jesus Christ, are invited to receive the elements today. We have not earned a seat at this table. We've done nothing that has guaranteed us anything here. It's only through Jesus' death and resurrection. So in these moments, we know that we have done things that have been displeasing to God. So in these moments, let us pray silently to God, confessing our sins to him and asking for forgiveness. Holy and perfect God, we do not measure up to your standards, and we are sorry for that. But in these moments, Lord, we confess to you those sins that we are aware of committing and pray that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse our hearts, purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A lot took place in upper rooms. The disciples were together in a room and the Spirit came upon them. Last Sunday, we talked about the disciples being in a room or being together and Jesus telling them to go and wait for them because Jesus ascended to heaven. On Easter Sunday, the disciples were together in the evening and Jesus appeared to them. But prior to all those events, during Holy Week, what we now call Holy Week, Jesus again gathered with his disciples in the upper room. They were celebrating Passover, the annual Jewish event, remembering the deliverance of God's people who were slaves in Egypt at the time, their deliverance from slavery. And Jesus, as part of that meal, took bread, part of the Seder meal, gave thanks to God for the bread, and then gave these words, "This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread." Broken bread, symbolizing Christ's broken body that was broken for us that we might be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As that meal continued in the upper room, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks to God, he began passing the cup among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup." The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you were questioned by your heavenly Father, "Do you love these people enough to die for them?" you said, "I do." Lord, it's in that love, most perfectly demonstrated on the cross, that fills us with compassion and caring for others. Lord, we pray that we may be strengthened by having been together today. We pray that you will send your Spirit upon us, that we will be revived as we go into the world. We ask this all in your most precious name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn that night before going out into the garden. Let us go now as spirited people, powerful at doing the will of God, energetic in sharing the love of Christ, being builders of understanding and makers of peace. Amen.